Ty, I'll let you have George Santos, and then we'll start all over.
I think, I don't know. I think I'd rather have all the Proud Boys. You want all the Proud Boys?
I mean,
fuck, marry, kill. Trump. Santos. All Proud the Proud Boys.
Damn. Oh, that's such a good game. We need to play that. Oh, my God, Carol.
Do you want to start playing that game every week? Because we can't.
We need to play fuck, marry, kill.
Oh, that sucks because I'm going to either. I think I'm going to have to marry all the Proud Boys. And fuck George Santos. I don't have a third option because it's not something I want to say.
Yeah, well. Yeah. Right, because we don't want the Secret Service showing up at my place again.
No, Qatar was and very
I also crazy. Don't want all the Proud Boys showing up at my house. I was kidding. No.
Yeah.
Totally fair. I mean, I've been invited to a couple of those kinds of parties. usually conservative women and a number of Black guys.
Huh. 1, 2, 3, 4.
All right, on to the next topic.
Okay, next. Are you next, Carol?
No, I got this one. It's my turn, guys. Georgia, always on my mind. David Schaefer, chairman of the Georgia Republican Party, suggested he should not be held criminally responsible for his part in the Georgia fake elector plot because, get this, you'll never believe it. Surprise, surprise. He was acting under direction from Donald Trump's legal team.
Colin was shocked.
In a letter to Fulton County District Attorney Fonnie Willis, Schaefer's attorney say that he relied on repeated and detailed advice of legal counsel, quote unquote, when organizing a group of Georgia fake electors while claiming to be one himself. And that eliminated any possibility. Well, this quote eliminated any possibility of criminal intent or liability, end quote. This revelation comes on the heels of learning last week that, hey, man, I'm sorry. That Trump's lawyers are the fucking middleman telling, like, organizing multiple states to send their own fake electors to the certification on January 6th. I mean, just no surprise whatsoever. Like, we've been telling you for, what, now 7, 8, 9 months, Trump was directly responsible for coordinating this bullshit. Well, there you go. Trump's lawyers. Got his ass.
He's going to be like, they came up with this together without me.
And then, hey, I got to tell you.
Crime fraud exception coming up.
Yeah, they're definitely going to get crime fraud exception. But Carol, I mean, you're a lawyer. I don't know if people know that. Not that you engage in, you know, criminal law. But what is it? Well, I just, you know. Here's the thing. What is probably the number one objective of any lawyer ever in the history of lawyers? You're going to say, no, keep going.
Make money.
You're a lawyer. You should know this one.
The objective of all lawyers in the history of lawyers?
Every single lawyer.
Zealous advocacy? Confidentiality?
Nope. Keep going. It's number one on the board. Don't go to jail. So Trump's lawyers are absolutely going to do whatever the fuck that you're making a strange face.
I don't want to go to jail. Everyone should live by that rule.
I'm just saying, lawyers, I just feel like above all else, the first thing on a lawyer's itinerary when engaging in their practice is don't do anything that would get my ass into jail.
I guess I just never really have to think from that way because, like, I'm not working in a legally dubious line of work.
Well, there's that. Yep. So I'm 100% guaranteeing that Trump's lawyers will do anything that it takes to avoid prison. So they're going to flip. Especially if the feds get involved, because
they know they're going to have those emails subpoenaed because it's like if they're involved. So, yeah, they better flip. And they're fucking stupid not to.
Right. Yeah. Look, Evan Corcoran, one of Trump's other attorneys, was crime fraud exception a few weeks ago. So like that's what you have in store with Trump's lawyers involved in the fake elector fraud. All right. This revelation comes on the heels of learning last week that 8 fake electors have accepted immunity deals from Willis after Kimberly Debro, who represents the fake electors, entered an opposing motion to disqualify counsel and impose sanctions. In case you don't remember this, I don't even know if we had the opportunity to talk about this on the podcast. Like Kimberly was representing a number of fake electors, but some of them had more exposure as far as like the criminal activities surrounding this plot than others, which therefore necessitated her disqualification from representing all of the fake electors because of a conflict of interest. Anyway, so Fonnie Willis took care of that. She was successful in that motion, got her ass kicked out of representing a number of the fake electors. Anyway, media reports, well, quote unquote, media reports have suggested that certain high level members of then President Trump's legal team, that being John Eastman and Rudy Giuliani, may have developed plans to attempt to persuade Vice President Pence to count these contingent ballots as the valid electoral votes. And this letter is from his, from Schaefer's lawyers. Mr. Schaefer was not involved in and had no knowledge of any such plans. I don't think they're going to believe you, but keep trying. Rather, his lawyers suggest they cast contingent ballots in order to keep an elections lawsuit alive. We don't believe you, bro. You need more people. So the idea that these fucking fake electors in Georgia weren't involved in like the plot to decertify Biden's win on January 6th, that's fucking bonkers. I mean, just like it's clear cut, clear as day. Here you are. You were taking orders from Trump's lawyers, and like Trump also had the separate plot to attack the Capitol on January 6th in case this plan didn't go right.
And I would have to look whether the law, the election law there at the time allowed for contingent ballots.
I'm going to say no.
Yeah, and what would you think are the chances that they've tried to add that law now? I mean, basically, they have tried to change it to say that. Anyway.
Yeah, Fannie Willis is in possession of at least 3 recordings of Trump pressuring Georgia officials, including one with the Secretary of State, Brad Raffensperger, as well as a phone call that he made to the Georgia House Speaker to push for a special legislative session to overturn Biden's 2020 win. The investigation then proceeded to encompass the fraudulent electors, false claims of election fraud to state officials, and a plot to illegally access voting machines. It just ran the whole fucking gamut of criminal plots down there in Georgia. And now we know Trump's lawyers are responsible for organizing this particular fake elector plot, which probably forebodes the investigation expanding to Trump's lawyers as it pertains to fake elector plots in other swing states like Arizona, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, and on and on and on and on and on. They're fucked. They're fucked.
Yes. Yep. Yes. So speaking of fucked, Jack Smith.
Is this going to be a sexy story, Kara?
I wouldn't say that, but I don't think anyone's been fucked like this since. Never mind. I can't
since
make that
sex
joke
analogy since, joke.
Well, I was going to say since Trump's dick was confused with his fingers. But
that's not, yeah. And his wife.
That probably happens to Melania all the time. Jack Smith probing the way the Trumps live. As part of the special counsel.
You see what I did there?
I get it.
I'm patting myself on the back. I did good. Carol, you're not so very pleased with my play on words there.
Carol, you and your red pinning, damn it. Just keep seeing you.
What am I doing?
You playing around with the notes still?
Oh, I'm sorry. How do I make that go away? Because it's annoying when I see. Editing, edit directly suggestions.
Hey, I got to tell you, I don't even have the Google Doc in my notes. I don't know what happened. They Zoom.
I know that the Google Docs is all Carol. That's her, but her.
I don't even have it. I can't pull it up. I don't know where it is. I didn't get it.
I sent it. It's in the Twitter chat.
Oh, I was looking on the Zoom chat. So what you're saying is I'm a fucking moron. Thanks, Carol.
Well, or I am, I guess, but I usually post in the Twitter chat.
Yeah.
The main place where we talk. Okay. Jack Smith probing the way that Trumps live. As part of the special counsel investigation into Trump's illegal retention of classified documents, the DOJ has subpoenaed records dealing with Trump's ties to Saudi-backed LIV Golf.
Yeah.
Now I get it. I get jokes eventually. This suggests that the prosecutors are now looking into the financial aspects of Trump's family business on top of his campaign, his social media company, and his political fundraising organizations, including his election defense fund, which appears to have never existed, despite soliciting millions of dollars in donations.
I was really patting myself on the back there for that title, and he's just like stone face, just looking at the Zoom screen like, all right, I guess, motherfucker. Sure, it's funny, huh?
Oh, I was just trying. I don't. I get it. I should have just read another sentence. Always read the whole thing first.
I was like, "Damn, that's so good." I wonder, it's like, why with the Carol recipe. Is in the music. I was so pleased with the opportunity to this tickle you with that.
Pleases me.
Yeah. No.
Anyway. All right. Trump's Bedminster and Doral properties hosted live events last year as part of LIV's inaugural year, with multiple Trump properties set to host LIV tournaments in 2023. During LIV's Bedminster tournament, Trump said, "I've known these people for a long time in Saudi Arabia. They've been friends of mine for a long time."
I can do it if you want me to. They've invested in many American companies.
Stealing your thunder, dude.
They own big percentages of many, many American companies. And frankly, what they're doing for golf is great. It's so great. What they're doing for players is so great. The salaries are going, they're going way up. They're going up. The Saudi crown prince had previously personally intervened to make sure that $2 billion of Saudi funds directed to the investment firm of Trump's son-in-law and former White House official Jared Kushner.
I was always really worried about the salaries of professional golfers.
Yes, if they don't make enough money. Look, I would, wanted to, because I didn't get the chance to make fun of these fucking morons, because I was too busy trying to pat myself on the back for my own joke and play on words. But hey, man, why the fuck is Jack Smith looking at LIV Golf as part of a classified documents case if he doesn't see like a potential link between like the funds the Saudis are paying Trump in his golf tournament?
Almost as though he does see it.
I mean,
yeah, that's my feeling too, Carol. Like, he does, like, he knows, like, the bullshit.
Yeah, well, I feel like the documents are at the 18th hole in the fucking casket.
Jack Smith is so fucking hot. Like, I wish he was 80.
Then you do him. Yeah. He's a little too young for you. At the ripe old age of 47, or however the fuck old he is.
Yo, what the fuck am I going to do with 47? I can't fuck with that.
That guy is not 47. Come on.
Okay, so.
Let's see. I mean, you look great, Jack. Jackson.
We know the Saudis are tight with Trump. It was the first place he went to visit once he won the election in 2016. It was literally his first foreign trip. He went to Saudi Arabia. He was rubbing the fucking globe. You don't remember that? No. Jared Kushner helped him organize the murder of the, you know, Washington Post journalist Jamal Khashoggi. Obviously, Kushner has been accused of feeding the Saudi crown prince intelligence that helped him round up, you know, members of the royal family so he could consolidate power and take control of the country. He's frequented Trump's properties the entire time he was in the White House. I mean, it's basically a money laundering plot, taking Saudi Arabia money and sticking it directly into Trump's pocket. Kushner left office, got the $2 billion investment fund, against the board from the Saudi investment fund, against their recommendations. Crown Prince overruled that shit and was like, nope, give him the money. He's like, Jerry Maguire, show me the money. And now, like, they're patronizing Trump's properties with this fucking golf tournament, the sports washing golf tournament. If you just stop and think about how asinine it is for, like, Trump to just be collecting all this money from foreigners and then, like, accusing I don't know, Joe and Hunter of some kind of criminal activity. So wild, bonkers.
Got up to what, $10 million? I'm guessing we'll be coming back to that at some point.
If we have time.
So as part of a separate set of subpoenas to Trump Organization, officials seeking additional surveillance video footage at Mar-a-Lago, we've seen that there appears to be a witness. He had worked for Trump at his resort and has been cooperating with special counsel investigation. Apart from cooperation, they received from Walt. No, it's just that was all one sentence.
Yeah, I'm sorry, it was a long sentence. All
right. I was trying to let it ride and I missed a word.
Part of a separate investigation that Jack Smith was engaged in, they subpoenaed additional surveillance footage from Mar-a-Lago last week. We learned that there was a cooperating witness who's been working at Trump's resort in Mar-a-Lago that's assisting the investigation. So, yeah, there you go. There's this other person, Walt Nada, who was working for Trump while he was in the White House, who left the government to come tag along with the ragtag band of criminals down there in Florida, who's also been cooperating with the investigation, but apparently he's not been forthcoming about, you know, his involvement with the classified documents and the whereabouts of those boxes and whether or not they have been moved back and forth or tampered with during the time. And I'm guessing that the only way Jack Smith knows this is from this other cooperating witness, and hence this lack of, I guess, forthcoming testimony by Nada led Jack Smith to subpoena additional footage from Mar-a-Lago, the surveillance footage. I'm not entirely sure how they came to this conclusion, but like that's how you put two and two together, I guess.
Yes, well, investigators appear to be concerned about the potential gaps in the security footage that would fill in their knowledge about the movement and tampering of boxes containing classified information, as they believe Nada has failed to accurately account for his role in their handling.
Yep. These idiots. All right. So they're on the Nixon. They're on the Nixon path here. Like there's, you know, Nixon altered the tapes to try and make them less incriminating. And apparently, Trump's people tried to alter the security footage to make it appear to be less incriminating. So to help account for why some of the footage may be missing or unavailable, the special counsel's office subpoenaed the software company handling all the security footage from the Trump Organization properties, which includes Mar-a-Lago. Now, I'm not entirely certain whether this is the case, but if Jack Smith is sending subpoenas to this security company, and that includes all of Trump properties, will they get footage from Bedminster, perhaps, or his, you know, given that the Saudis, well, we just talked about the Saudis making a previous trip during the tournament there last year. Like, if there were any any instances or possibilities that Trump was trading classified documents with them at that property at the time, might that have been picked up on surveillance footage, and could special counsel's office receive that footage as part of the subpoena? I don't know. Don't know. Speculate about that, I guess.
Guess we're going to find out, but these guys run a tight ship. This isn't like the previous administration where they're like, think it's a fucking TV show and like blab about the plan of like, oh, I know the Batman is going to... I just feel like Trump was like constantly just saying like what they're doing. He's like, and I got Bill Barr working on this illegal pardon scheme. Like, what? Shut up.
Yeah, he does a lot of confessing in public. He actually, again, did that today. Well, as we're recording this, it's Wednesday, the CNN town hall. He made a number of bonkers confessions on air that his supporters applauded. That was really a wild, surreal experience watching this nonsense. I don't know. Look, Jack Smith's investigation has expanded to realms I hadn't considered when he was initially appointed. I mean, we all assumed like something untoward was going on with the LIV Golf and the Saudis funneling money to Trump companies. I don't know. Maybe Jack Smith will get to the bottom of it. Fingers crossed. All right, Ty, after you, last but not least. Yeah, we're going to have to start getting you an energy drink before the podcast. That's what I'm sipping on. Well, that's what's keeping me alert.
I'm drinking.
Well, I get this one.
Supreme Court eating crow. How apropos.
I did good with the titles of these segments.
I like that one.
If I was the editor for a news outlet, we have some awesome headlines for our fucking articles. All right, continue. Thanks for patting me on the back, Carol.
Conservative judicial activist Leonard Leo seen pictured with Clarence Thomas, benefactor, and billionaire Nazi artifact enthusiast.
That's a hell of a description, huh?
Harlan Crowe and Thomas himself in front of creepy statues.
All right, side tangent. If you Google Leonard Leo and Harlan Crowe, like, you know, hit the Google button, put their names in there, hit enter, click on the images tab. What pops up is those two individuals along with Clarence Thomas and a couple of right-wing billionaires, and they're out in Crowe's creepy statue-esque backyard thing, and there's like this giant Native American statue, that they're all sitting under. It's very, I can't even describe the vibe. Very, I don't know, super villain chic. Anyway, Leonard Leo.
Previously arranged for payments to the wife of Justice Thomas amounting to tens of thousands of dollars a decade ago, making clear that her name was to be left off of the billing paperwork.
Ruh-roh.
Stop it, Gene.
Yeah. If that's not bad guy behavior.
They would have gotten away with it too if it wasn't for the massive stupid paper trail they left and the Department of Justice.
That would have been the stupid Department of Justice. Yeah.
Yeah. Leo ordered none other than former Trump official.
Wait, get this. Get this. All right, you ready, kids? Ty, go. Tell them who it is.
Kellyanne Conway used her firm to bill one of his nonprofits and send the funds directly to Jenny, I was in a cult, Thomas, expectation that there be no mention of Jenny.
That's a quote.
Of course. No mention of Jenny, of course.
That bitch is
When I said super villain chic, like, of course, when you're like, hey, send some money to this Supreme Court justice's wife, but don't tell them who it was really going to. That's some super villain type shit.
So I did Google that that picture, and it's a painting. Did you? It's a painting.
Nuh-uh.
A painting that Leonard Leo, far right, Thomas, second from right, smoking cigars at the resort. They are joined by lawyers Peter Rutledge, Leonard Leo, and Mark Pallotta.
No, that's not a painting, is it? That can't be a painting.
It says it's a painting by Sharif Tarabay.
Oh my Rabe. Fucking Jesus Christ.
I just pictured that Clarence Thomas was like barefoot.
Girl, you are looking at the oil, someone painted a portrait of the Carol. Someone painted a portrait of the image that I'm talking.
My image is that I just see Clarence Thomas barefoot with a collar around his neck, looking like Kunta Kinte running through the Garden of Evil.
That's pretty accurate, actually. When you describe it in such a manner, that does kind of accurately reflect what it is that we're looking at.
It looks like he's wearing Merrells with white olive green Merrells with white socks, chinos.
Yeah.
Oh, is he a cholo?
Blue golf shirt.
Blue golf shirt with white stripes and an olive green vest.
Yep, while holding a cigar.
Oh.
I mean, it.
Oh, damn.
Yes. It, like I said, super villain chic. That accurately describes the setting there. All right, continue. Sorry, we threw you off there, Ty.
There's no indication of what work Thomas did for the firm, but Jenny's nonprofit was paid at least $80,000 by the firm from June 2011 until June 2012, with the expectations that another $20,000 was to be paid before the end of that year. Shelby V. Holder was decided a year later in favor of conservatives striking down a huge swath of voting rights, making it far more difficult for minorities to vote.
The Voting Rights Act. I'm not necessarily saying that there's a relation there, but it was just pretty fucking convenient.
Hopefully we'll leave that to some judicial body to decide.
Yeah, maybe if the Senate Judiciary Committee can ever get it together to send these motherfuckers some subpoenas, I don't know. We can move towards that.
No, we're good. In a similar fashion, Democrats on the Senate Judiciary Committee asked Harlan Crow to provide an itemized list detailing any gifts to Thomas, his family, or any other Supreme Court justice and their family members worth $415 or more. He also asked Crow to provide a full list of real estate transactions, transportation, lodging, and admission to private clubs he might have provided.
That seems like a prudent investigative step there to ask this motherfucker. Yo, man, all this money and gifts you was handing out, like, we want some records, dog. Put that shit on paper, please.
That makes sense to me.
And a few gift cards for $414, if you don't mind.
Well,
that's such a random fucking number. $415.
All right. I think there's like some reporting requirements that the justices have to meet, and that might be the threshold, possibly.
$415.
Yeah.
Hey, buddy, I got you 5,000 gift cards for $414.
All right. So here's the thing, right? It could possibly be like the campaign reporting standards, where anything over $201, you have to report that, but anything less than that, you don't have to report. But then George Santos, or, you know, I don't know, Captain Fraud of the United States House of Representatives, had like 100,000 receipts for $199.99. Where it's like, that's suspicious. It's like, you know, a dollar and a half less than the amount that would require you to have to report all the information from, you know, about surrounding those expenses. Yeah, maybe it's the same thing with the $415. I don't know. I guess I should have looked that up instead of being lazy. I assume there's some reporting threshold, and the Senate Judiciary Committee is like, hey, bitch, we need to know.
They probably were like, $300, and they're like, this is a reasonable gift. Come on. You know you wanted to get this for me. That gift was at least $400. They're like,
Yeah, like, I'm pretty sure, like, Clarence Thomas and all the other conservative justices, what they do is they play Roblox. and then Harlan Crow buys them a bunch of gift cards for Roblox.
That's got to be it.
And then they cash them out.
That's some pedo shit.
I don't know, man. I was just making something up. That's totally reckless speculation. But I guess, look,
that happened 100%. That's all they do. Roblox.
You've listened to this podcast, and the range of insane bananas news topics that we've been talking about for the past, you know, however, almost a year now. Like, it's not out of the realm of possibility they got a fucking money laundering scheme going through Roblox. It's like the least insane thing on this podcast today.
That's true. As part of the Senate Judiciary Committee's ongoing efforts to craft legislation strengthening the ethical rules and standards that apply to the justices of the Supreme Court, we request that you provide the committee with certain information by May 2nd of 2023. This information will help identify specific shortcomings in the statement on ethics principles and practices.
Yeah, look, they have to have some kind of legislative justification for asking Crow for these records and documents. So,
as well as current law that legislation needs to address. This after revelations that Thomas failed to disclose that Crow paid thousands of dollars to send his nephew to boarding school for a year.
That was fucking crazy. I was like, all right, so you paying for this motherfucker's mama to live rent free. You taking him on all these trips, flying his ass across the world. And you pay for his nephew to go to boarding school. Like, what the, like,
what his reasoning was, he wants to help less fortunate. If that isn't a goddamn F you in the face of fucking people of color, but you know, a coon's gonna coon. Oh. So that I'm sorry. Are we?
Yeah. The justification that he used was he wanted to help at risk youths.
Like the nephew of a very powerful Supreme Court justice.
Make it make
yes,
sense.
Yes, he was in danger, Carol. Oh, because he's don't black. You get it?
Got it.
Did y'all hear about the story? Did you hear the story about the way the two of them met, Crow and Thomas?
Oh dear.
They met officially for the first time on Harlan Crow's private jet. All 11 Democrats, including Senator Dianne Feinstein, who has been absent for health reasons, signed the letter. No Republican joined them, and you'll never have guessed this, but Harlan Crow donated over $430,000 to Republicans on the Senate Judiciary Committee, as well as $240,000 to Republicans on Senate Finance. So, of course, the people
and
you
donated. And for a small donation of $300,000 more, we promise to get to the bottom of these donations.
Right. You're asking the people who Harlan Crow gave money to investigate Harlan Crow for giving money to people. You can see how that might not go well. A text message from Jenny Thomas appeared in a new PBS documentary about the Thomas family, and it reads as such, quote, Biden crime family and ballot fraud co-conspirators are being arrested and detained for ballot fraud right now. In overcoming days, and will be living in barges off of Gitmo to face a military tribunal. So, as you can clearly see, she is well within her right mind and in a very mentally astute individual, and it makes absolute and total sense that anyone would be sending her hundreds of thousands of dollars under the table for supposed work that she was,
I mean, half $1 million, that's nothing, right?
Yeah,
nothing. Right. Half a million.
I mean, I'll take it.
Clearly, she's worth every penny. She's one of the brightest minds of our generation.
She is not my contemporary.
All right, kids.
I like to take issue with the wrong point.
Do you? Well, I'm sorry that was such a harrowing and exhausting information dump as far as the news was concerned. It was a lot. I didn't even get to everything that's happened in the past week because we live in the craziest of times. Shit, I've never seen anything like this. Nothing makes any sense anymore. The world is topsy-turvy and politics is like some kind of reality TV show, except like the Twilight Zone come to life. I don't know. Anyway, do either of you two have a nominee for the Shithole of the Week award by any chance?
CNN.
Yeah. Well, yep. Doesn't even have to go any farther than that.
That's it. I back CNN. That. I second that.
Yep. By unanimous consent, we hereby award CNN for the Shithole of the Week award for hosting the disinformation spewing sexual abuser coup organizing former president of the United States, even though he's been criminally indicted and the first former president to ever receive such an honor. And then you put him on television for an hour to normalize his insanity and launder his bullshit. Congratulations, guys. You are some fucktards.
And like Fox viewers will never love you. He'll never love you.
No, they'll never love you. And then, but even Fox.
CNN is the fucking Megyn Kelly of mainstream media. Okay.
Even Fox has largely ignored Trump for the past, you know, year and a half. So good job, you fuckers. Just shame on you. All right.
Shame.
Do either of you have any closing thoughts this evening? Well, you know, Ty, I'll give the floor to you to let you go after Tucker Carlson, as he so deserves. Or Ron DeSantis, take your pick, either or.
Oh, Jesus, either or. I'm going to go with Tucker. Yeah. Because his damn, like, fucking media, whatever, trying to gloss over the fact that he's a goddamn racist. And the shit has been exposed. Fuck you, fish stick fuck boy. Like, that's all I have to say about that asshole. He is the worst person and worst thing that has happened to this country in the last 6 fucking years.
Wait, let's not get too far ahead of ourselves. There's also Trump.
True. All
right, that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I hate that goddamn fucker. I do. I hate him with fucking passion.
I'm totally with you. I'm glad he lost his job. Sadly, he's being paid $20 million of dollars. Yeah. He's sadly being paid $20 million a year to not work. So can't take his money.
No, but the best part is Elon saying, I ain't got to deal with you, fucker. Oh, yeah.
It was incredible that Tucker he's like, yeah, I'm announcing my Twitter exclusive show. And then Eli was like, nah, son. It's pretty good. Well, look, even Elon, like, there's no individual on this planet who has less self-awareness than Elon Musk. And he was like, this might not go over well. Carol, do you have any closing thoughts?
Nah, man. This week it's just making it through is gonna have to be good enough. And sometimes life will be like that. There, I've made my life into a trite analogy. Move forward with the operation.
Okay.
I said enough things.
You said plenty, Carol. Thank you for all of your contributions today.
Oh, thank you.
And I love you dearly. You too as well, Ty.
I love you
too. And I love you too, listeners. I don't want to let my affections for you go unspoken as well. As for my closing thoughts, one of the concerns that I had previously had, I mean, actually, it's really the impetus for the beginning of this podcast, is my lack of faith in the ability for the media to appropriately handle Donald Trump's potential 2024 campaign. And it seems that my concerns have been validated. It's early 2023. We haven't even gotten to the fucking primaries yet. And the media is already imploding. Fox is going even further off the rails than previously thought possible. There's a whole bubble, like an alternate universe of information and facts that they're feeding their audience, where if the only news source that those individuals are accessing is Fox, they will have no context for what is actually happening in Earth One here back in reality. So that's already one massive problem. They're brainwashing people to think that there's some massive scandal involving President Biden accepting bribes through, you know, his son Hunter's company and from overseas and whatnot. It's so impossibly convoluted that it's difficult to follow. But even still, like Republican James Comer, I believe, held a hearing today, supposedly to air out all of this evidence against the quote unquote Biden crime family. And he himself admitted that he had no evidence whatsoever. Yet the people who watch and consume Fox News still believe this nonsense. And Fox News aside, apparently CNN has entered the fray. They have attempted to use whatever remaining credibility that they've had as a journalistic institution over the past couple of decades, and they've gone all in with the decision to normalize the insanity that Trump brings. The person responsible for the attack on our Capitol on January 6th that almost potentially ended our democracy. CNN's on board with that. Gave him an hour-long platform, spew all kinds of lies. I tuned in to some of it. Every fucking thing that this individual said was bananas. It was bonkers. Not held accountable for a sexual abuse trial. Not held accountable for being charged with numerous indictments in New York. Just rambling on. Lie after lie after lie after lie. I certainly don't think the Trump's going to win in 2024. But it's going to be a rough road if this is the type of media environment that we're dealing with, where they give Trump every benefit of the doubt and every opportunity to launder his lies and his bullshit. It's going to be a difficult road ahead of us if we don't find a way to point out how absolutely insane and bonkers this is, that he's even being treated like a normal candidate when he is clearly anything but. And I don't know what the end solution is to solve this problem. But what I will ask you to do is to support your independent media, your podcast and your journalistic outlets. Make sure you do everything you can on the social media, to point out all of the insanity surrounding this, so that we don't let all of Trump's lies gain traction and end up putting him in a position to win in 2024. Again, yeah, I know Jack Smith is coming. Finding Willis is coming. I'm absolutely certain there'll be other indictments elsewhere, but we can't necessarily rely on the justice system to save us. I think we learned that with Robert Mueller's investigation. We learned that in 2016 with James Comey. At the end of the day, while progress in those areas is important, it is really on us to save ourselves. This is a lesson that I have deeply taken to heart. I 100% believe that we all have to wage our own individual battles to make as much progress as we can to slow, if not stop, the Republican Party from taking over our government and destroying our democracy. And I'm asking you to take it upon yourselves to play your part as well. And that concludes this episode of Part of the Insurrection.